All it needs is for you to be broken. And when you plant in it, you don't need no fertilizer. All the stuff that needs to come and cause the things to grow is in it already. Hallelujah. So God says, break up those fallow grounds, those places in your life that you've become hardened, you've not sown anything into. He says, break it up, because fallow ground that is not plowed cannot produce good fruit. It has a capacity, but you've got to break it. Or else it's going to be like the seed that fell in the pathway and the birds of the air came and picked it up, because the hearer of the word did not understand it.
I want you to meditate on that word for a moment. Fallow ground. It has all the nutrients in it. It needs to be broken. So it's seeded. And then the hidden force in that which seems to be barren produces. I pray today that if there is any fallow ground in our lives, areas that have not been addressed for the glory of God, that that will happen now. And that the miracle working power of God will bring out that exuberant manifestation of his divine purpose and destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This Mother's Day, I want to talk about a particular mother. In my almost 50 years of ministry, I don't think I have talked much about this particular mother. But I want to talk about her today, because the Lord says it's time to talk about her. She was a mother that was not loved. She was a mother that was not expected. But she was part of God's purpose. She was part of God's plan. In a very unlikely way, she comes into the story. But without her, we will not have the lineage that Jesus came from. Without her, we will not have the 12 tribes of Israel. What the devil planned for evil, God assigned and called good. From a disappointment, God was making an appointment. Maybe you already know who I'm talking about. Her name is Leah. Leah. Someone say Leah. Leah means weary, weak, tired. Are you weak? Are you tired? You feel like you're burnt out, that you don't count? Today, I'll be talking about you. Because God has a second wind for you. Hallelujah. Leah, the story of Leah is told to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 29. Genesis 29. The Bible tells us that Jacob had come. He's running away from his brother. He's run away from home. And he's come to this place where his uncle Laban is. And the first person he meets, in reality, from that family, is a beautiful maiden called Rachel. He meets her at the well. They start talking. He finds out this is family. And she takes her to the father. And father says, you bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. A very remarkable statement, because that's the same statement Adam made about Eve. And he's excited about this amazing experience. And he says, you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. So I'm cutting a long story short. So he stays. And his eyes are on Rachel. And Laban says to him, he says, you can't work for me for free. Tell me, what do you want? And he says, I want Rachel. He says, oh, of course. You can have Rachel. He says, I'm going to serve for her for 7 years. I'm going to give 7 years of my life so I can get Rachel. And verse 20 says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And it says, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. He loved her so much that 7 years was nothing. Nothing. He went through it like hot knife on butter. And when he completed it, he says to Laban, he says, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. I've done everything I need to do to get her. And Laban called a great party, and everybody came together, and they celebrated the marriage of Jacob on the forefront. 2 Rachel was standing there. This is the one. But at night, never leave the one that you are married to, because a night time comes when a switch can be made. I don't know if you got what I just said. Because if he was hanging around with her, the switch would not have happened. But they are switched. Now, Rachel is beautiful. Leah, not that much. She has a lazy eye. One eye is looking this way, the other eye is looking that way. But at night, what do you know? He wakes up and he turns around and says, "Hi, honey," and Leah with her lazy eye, one eye looking this way. Oh, poor Leah. And Jacob jumps. "Hey, what are you doing in my bed?" I said, what are you talking about? I've been here all night. "What do you mean you've been here all night?" "Yeah, don't you remember? I was the one." I am sure that Jacob was busy calling Rachel's name. But Leah kept her mouth shut. Sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut or else your secret will be opened too quickly. He's upset. He goes to Laban and says, "Laban, you deceived me. This is not what I worked for. I worked for 7 years to get Rachel, and you give me Leah." And Laban says, "Well, that's not our tradition. We don't give the second daughter away before the first. The first one's got to be married first. That's our tradition." Point. Know the tradition of the people you're getting married to. I don't know if you heard what I just said. Know the tradition and the culture of the person you're trying to attach yourself to. Because if you don't know the fine print, by the wisdom of God, things can happen. Things that you may not be happy about. Know what's on ground before you got there. You want to buy a business? Know what the culture is. What do they do here? How do they operate here? Laban says, "The way we operate here, Leah first, before Rachel. While you were busy working for 7 years, you should have been praying that somebody else come and collect Leah. But since Leah was not collected, you are the collector." Messed up story. Ha. He says, "Okay, I'm going to work another 7 years for her, for Rachel. You'll do that? All right, you can have her." So he had two wives. Rachel did not come down later. He had both of them at the same time. And he was spending time with Rachel and not with Leah. Leah is being starved. Rachel is having all the fun while he was still working for her. But Rachel has no children. For the Bible says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren." You get it? They were both together, wives of Jacob. But God saw Leah is not being treated right. And God recompensed her. You may be here seated with me today. And maybe life is not treating you well. But I want you to know that the God who sees will recompense. Let me say that again. God will recompense you. Hallelujah. This is the story of Leah. Weary, weak, not that pretty, unloved, and God sees her and opened her womb. You know what that tells me? It tells me that every womb is shut until God opens it. Let me say that again. Every womb is shut until it is opened. And today I declare by the authority of the word of God that every shut womb, every shut destiny will receive the recompense of an open womb. Let that area of your life that has been shut, because you don't have everything, you came from the wrong side of the street or from the wrong neighborhood, I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that God will visit you and that God will do something extraordinary for you and cause you to experience a Leah experience where the womb is open. And so it was that she had her first child. The first child's name is Reuben. Reuben means God sees my affliction. God sees my affliction. In a very perfect understanding of the name Reuben, Ru means behold a son. I got a son. I got a son. I was the one denied. She, Rachel, is always having Jacob. And once in a blue moon, I get to have Jacob and I got a son. I got a result one time and I got it. I got it. I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus that every opportunity that you get, that it will produce the results that you desire in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Rachel, 100 times having fun with Jacob. Maybe we'll have it this time, but I just got one time, one opportunity. And yet there is a son. His name is Reuben. See a son. See a son. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. He's seen me. Now therefore, she says, my husband will love me. This one is going to make it happen. He's going to come more. I know he really wants to have children. And since I am productive, he's going to spend the time with me. The Bible says, and she conceived again. And she comes with a son called Simeon. Simeon means heard. First one, God sees my affliction. Behold, look, a son. Now he says, now God hears. Not only has God seen, God is hearing. Because the Lord had heard that I was hated. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew. Rachel is loved. Leah is hated. And everybody who saw Leah will see why. Oh, she's weary. She's got a lazy eye. She's not that pretty. This one, oh, wow. Miss World. Queen. This one. Mm-mm. It says, God had heard that I was hated. He had therefore, because he heard that I was hated, had given me this son also. She called his name Simeon. And she got another son. And she conceived again and bore a son. Now this time, she says, my husband will be joined unto me. He will begin to spend more time with me. Because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Wow. Levi joined two. He has a third one. Levi is going to become the tribe of the priest. The priesthood is going to come out of this family of joint. You say, what's happening with Rachel? Bible says God shut her womb. So Rachel looks around and says to Jacob, you have to give me a son. You've got to give me a child. She's not blaming herself. You give me a child. And Jacob flips and says, am I God? Am I God that should give you a son? The Bible says, after the third child, here comes the fourth. The fourth, at least, from Leah. And before that happens, Rachel is upset and she brings her maiden. Because when Leah was married, Laban gave her a maid called Zilpah to go with her. And when Rachel got married, she was given a maiden called Bilhah. So she goes and she says, you know what? You got to give me a son. You got to do it now. And this is what we're going to do. You're going to take my maiden, Bilhah, which means troubled. That's what the name of this woman is, troubled. So you're going to take trouble over here and you're going to give me a child, and I'm going to put, when she's giving birth, she's going to sit on my lap and it's going to be like I'm the one giving birth. Are we together so far? She's sitting down. Bilhah is sitting on her. Bilhah is going to give birth, but it's going to be my baby. It looks like a very crooked story. But how many times have we had a front that is doing stuff and we lay claim to it? It's just a front. Trouble. Troubled is birthing, and she calls that child Dan. Dan became actually the fifth child. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The fifth child after Judah. when Judah, which means praise, was born by Leah, the Bible says she stopped giving birth. She dried up. No more children. No matter what happened, she had no children. But that praise triggered Rachel in bringing Bilhah. And Bilhah gives birth, and they call the name of that child Dan. Dan means judge. So here is Dan born. And Bilhah gives birth again. And this name of this child is called Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestling. Because she said, I have wrestled greatly with my sister. And I have prevailed. You got number six, two children from Bilhah. But you've wrestled with your sister and you've prevailed. Living a lie. Living a lie. I've prevailed. I've wrestled. Leah sees what's going on. And the competition is on. Ah, so you took Bilhah. I got a maid too. Since I'm not able to give birth anymore, I got a maid. And so she brings her maid, Zilpah, and says, just like my sister, here is Zilpah. Zilpah. Zilpah, Zilpah means trickling. Drop, 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 drop. And Leah, Zilpah, gives birth to Gad. Gad means a troop. Do you remember the man with the legion, the Gadarenes? It traces back here. Traces back here. Gad, a troop, is born. He is the seventh child. A troop cometh. It's a prophetic declaration. Because Jacob is going to, when he's blessing God, he's going to talk about how God was going to be overtaken by a troop, but at the end was going to overcome. And when Jesus crossed the Galilee and came to the land of the Gadarenes, he was coming to undo what Jacob had declared and set that demonized man free. Hallelujah. But in his name is that statement, a troop cometh. A troop cometh. A troop cometh. An enemy is coming. But God is going to step in and help. Then she had another one called Asher. Asher means happy. Let's celebrate. And she's excited. The Bible says that one day her first son, Reuben, went and he got, during the time of the harvest of wheat, he got some mandrakes in the field. And he brings it home to the mom. And Rachel says to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And Leah is upset. Leah says, is it a small matter that thou hast taken away my husband? You took my husband from me. And now you want to take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Give me some of those mandrakes. I'll let him come stay with you today. Right there, you know exactly what is happening. Jacob was always on Rachel's bed, not on Leah's bed. The only thing is, every time that Leah, every opportunity Leah had, a child pumps out. And Jacob quickly forgets and goes back to Rachel. And now that Rachel has two sons through a front, not hers, but pretend. Are you with me? He's spending all the time with her. They are believing their lies together. But God is watching all of this. And the mandrakes, see, the reason she wanted those mandrakes was that they had a belief that mandrakes help you to be fertile. So she's figured it out, and she thinks, I know the secret. The secret is not that God opened the womb. The secret are these mandrakes. So give me some mandrakes so I can be pregnant too. Would you believe it? According to your faith. According to your faith. She believed the mandrakes were the trick. And it's going to work for her. But Leah says, okay, I accept this negotiation. And as soon as her husband was coming back from the field that evening, she goes to him and says, don't go that way. So what do you mean I can't go that way? I negotiated for you today. You come to my bed. That's what we're doing today. So Jacob looks at Rachel. Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. Go with her. Bible says, and he lay with her that night. And God, watch this, hearkened unto Leah. And she conceived. Why? Because when her womb got shut after that fourth child, Judah, when you should be praising God, and this is what is supposed to release the blessing into your life, but it's not working. The word of God says, let all the earth praise God so that the earth will yield its increase. And we're doing the Judah thing, but no productivity. Now she is questioning everything, and she's crying out to God, I got to have another child. I got to have another child. Another child for what? You've got four. This guy doesn't like you. Why do you? I don't care. I want to be a blessing. I got to have another child. So she has the fifth child. And his name is Issachar. He's really, on one hand, the ninth child, which means fruitfulness, which means breakthrough. But he's also the fifth child for her, which is the number for grace. Are we together so far? In sharing a mandrake, she got a benefit. And she has Issachar. Who is Issachar? This is a very important tribe in Israel, because the people of Issachar were in tune with God and what God was doing. And they will bring the prophetic word to the people of Israel and say, this is what we got to do. It is time for this. They were people of timing. And his name means simply, Issachar means God will recompense. God will recompense. God will pay back. God will honor me. God will bless me. No matter what, I've been hated, I've been starved of love, but God is going to make me, even now, more fruitful. She gets the fifth and the ninth, and here comes number 10. The Bible says, and Leah conceived again and bore Jacob the sixth son, which is really the tenth son. And he calls his name Zebulun. And says, now will my husband dwell with me. All her life, this woman is struggling. She's fighting. She's fighting to be seen, fighting to be loved. And with everything that she's doing, it seemed like nothing is really cutting it. She, from her lineage, has produced for Jacob 2/3 She's produced 8 of the children of Jacob. 8. 6 directly from her. 2 from Zilpah. The Bible says, now will my husband dwell with me. He's going to now stay with me rather than with Rachel. He's going to be staying in my bed. Not on Rachel's. You know, works don't make God love you. Let me try harder. It's not going to make people love you. Love comes your way because grace is upon your life. It doesn't matter how much you try. There's so many people who are always trying to please somebody, to be received, to be accepted. It doesn't matter how hard you try. If they don't care about you, they don't care about you. That's the story of Leah. She has Zebulun. Zebulun means exalted. Exalted. She's come to that sixth child from her and says, there's exaltation here. Just maybe my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him 6 sons. And after that, she gets the only daughter in the family called Dinah. Praise the Lord. So here, she has 6 sons and 1 daughter called Dinah. or dinner, whichever way you call it. Rachel with her mandrakes. Still not working. But in her mind, she thinks it worked. But the Bible says, let me back up. There are things that we do that we think cause certain things to work. But it's only in your mind. Because ultimately, if God does not bless, there is no blessing. The Bible says, and God remembered Rachel. Someone say, God remembered Rachel. May God remember you and I. God remembered Rachel. And this life that was beaten down, pretty she was, exciting she was, loved she was, she had everything for her. But until God hearkened and opened her womb, she was not having any children. It was not going to happen. But what is God's mind about all of this? What is really happening here? I shared with you many years ago, if the Lord leads me back to that, I will go back to that particular message at some point, about the blessing of the second born. And how Abraham, by his actions of taking Ishmael, or getting Ishmael through Hagar, caused the blessing to begin to rest on the second born. Or rather, on the firstborn, rather than the second born. Oh, let me back up. I'm mixing things up. God, the blessing that's supposed to be on the firstborn went to the second born because the second born was really Isaac. Remember that? Patterns affect things. Patterns affect things. So what does God wait for? He waits for the 11th child, which is 1-1. And he gives that child to Rachel. And that child is the one called, you know his name, Joseph. Hallelujah. Now, that principle is still going to continue with Joseph, because when Joseph's children are going to be blessed, the hand that is supposed to rest on the firstborn goes on the secondborn. Because Jacob crosses his hand. Do you remember this? And Jacob does that, and Joseph says, hey, you're doing it wrong. No, I don't care how old you are. You know when you cross your hand. Praise the Lord. So it continues that way. The second born is the one that shoots out and becomes first after the firstborn stuck his hand out and said, oh, this is going to be the first one. And he put a ribbon. He went back and the second one shows up first. The principle is there in the Word of God. So here God starts the process of getting things corrected. And he's going to finalize it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. So here is Joseph. And Joseph means God has added. This is a prophetic declaration. She bore this son and says, God has added to me and God has taken away my reproach. He's taken away my reproach. The shame of not giving birth is over with me. Now I have given birth. I have my own child. This is not pretend. This is not a front. I did not need Bilhah on my laps. I gave birth myself. May God give you and I an opportunity to shout hallelujah, because we experience the blessing of God, the goodness of God in a very personal way. It is not something that's acted out by somebody else. No, I know this. I know the experience of being pregnant and giving birth myself. Not a story. My testimony. God has taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph and said, the Lord, watch this, shall add to me another son. Oh, I don't know that you... Did you hear what we just read? So she's thanking God, but she goes into the future. She steps into the future and begins to declare the future. You see, when you've gone through a hard time, this is a principle that must be held up. When nothing is happening for you, and finally it happens, don't just celebrate that it happened. Prophesy your future. Did you hear that? Please don't forget that principle. Please don't forget that principle. Please don't forget that principle. That while you're celebrating this breakthrough that you have, pronounce that this breakthrough continues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it would have continued for her. But there's something wrong. Rachel has a problem. I would think Leah is the one that should have the problem, but Rachel is the one that has a problem. So what kind of problem does Rachel have? Because Rachel, who's praying to God and asking God to bless her and asking God to do mighty things for her and asking and prophesying about this future son that's born to her, when Jacob is leaving Laban's house, she grabs the gods of her father's house. She takes them. And when Laban found out that Jacob and his family had left, he goes pursuing after them and says, somebody took my gods. And Jacob says, if you find your gods with anybody here, You've been mean to me. You've not done me right. I've left peacefully not to have any problems with you. And you come here accusing me. If you find any gods here, then let the person that the gods are with die. I preached a message about the day Jacob killed his wife. That's the day Rachel died. Father checks all over, and Rachel puts the gods underneath her and sits on it. And when the father came to where she is, she says, I'm so sorry, Papa. I cannot get up. I'm going through my period. And father says, okay. And Laban comes. Jacob says, did you find your gods anywhere? He says, no. See, I told you. He just accused me for nothing. And he leaves. Rachel that is pregnant. Continues the journey as they are leaving. And she comes and she goes through serious birthing challenges, a hard, laborious challenge. And as she is giving birth, the curse of Jacob, that whoever has those gods die, happens. And she's given birth. She calls the name of the child Benoni. But Jacob, because that was a bad name, comes and says, no, that's not his name. His name is Benjamin. Benjamin changes that young man's name. Benjamin. Was born while Rachel was dying because she did not finalize in her mind that the reason the husband is blessed is not because of the gods of her father, but the God of the husband, Jacob. You know, you can be a believer and still not finalize within your spirit that the reason you're blessed is God, not your hard work, not your education, not the family you came from. We must give all credit and all honor to the Most High God for everything that happens in our lives. Because if you don't, there's something waiting for you at the other end of this story. Loss. Jacob loved Rachel. Just the looks. And loses her. On the way to Ephrath, on the way to Bethlehem. Do you know, we need to love people, period. But when you start having preferences, you create problems. You have children and you love one more than the other, you can create a problem. You can create a problem. Jacob's love and indifference to Leah created a problem. And the Bible says they were on the way to the house of bread, Bethlehem. How many people are dying on the way to Bethlehem because they have not put God in his rightful place in their lives, believing that he and he alone has blessed them. And so you gamble your life away. My prayer today is this, that every one of us choose God with all of our hearts, and that the blessings of God be bestowed upon us, that we be reminded all of our days that it is God who opens and it is God who shuts. And may God open all of our wombs. On this Mother's Day, may your womb stay open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Judah was born, and then there was a dry season. But then, the God who answered prayers opened the womb of Leah again. If you've come to the end of yourself, and you worn out, and it seems that you've come to the end of your days, I am declaring that the God of heaven, the God who reigns forever, true, that he will give you a refresher, give you a rebirth, give you a renewal, give you a second wind, so that you can pick up and overcome. Do you receive this word? Then rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the wonderful privilege that we have in you. We ask, O God Almighty, that this will be the moment of renewal for every one of us, that you will open our wombs, the womb of birthing, that in every area of our lives, that there will be the birthing of your goodness and your mercy. And Father, oh God, that we will not live in a world of pretense, but Lord, oh God, that indeed we will experience all of the processes needed to see the manifestation of your will. Father God, arise. Let every enemy be scattered, and let breakthroughs be our loud and everlasting experience. Thank you, Father, for the breakthroughs, for new doors opened. Thank you, Lord, for renewal. Thank you, Lord, for recompensation. Compensate us for every loss. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that everyone that is suffering the pain of rejection, suffering the pain of not being accepted, not being loved, Lord, oh God, that this day, oh God, that there will be a transformative work of grace that will finally cause each one to enjoy the fullness of God. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you know that now that Rachel is gone, whether Jacob liked it or not, there was only one bed to go to. It was back to Leah. The first became the last. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's how God works.